The Sports Report is brought to you by iHome, the number one brand in digital audio. From Lightning Dock alarm clocks to rechargeable Bluetooth boomboxes and quality affordable headphones, iHome has you covered. To learn more, head to iHomeAudio.com. Welcome to episode number 466 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. New shows every Monday on The Grizz. The show is also free in the podcast section of iTunes. Keep the five-star reviews coming there. We always appreciate that. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT. That's the handle for the Sports Report, the Sports RPT on Twitter. The NFL draft just a few days away. This year it's in Philadelphia, right down the road, the city of brotherly love. Fans there are going to be jacked up, no doubt about that. I'll look at the top skill position players in this draft class, and what's up with the quarterbacks this year? Should any of them go in the first round? We have a big NBA segment coming up. I saw the absolute dumbest headline today about LeBron James. Sometimes I wonder how these writers have jobs. I really, really do. And this was on ESPN.com. I'm not talking about some 8-year-old with a blog that writes in his parents' basement in between playing Pokemon and scarfing down Cheetos. I'm not talking about Eric Cartman here. And I'll tell you where things stand in the NHL playoffs. We are down to the conference semifinals, and a couple teams that were really, really good in the regular season are gone. So stay tuned for a little pinball and ice discussion at the end of the show. All coming up here on episode 466 of the Sports Report. Thanks so much for tuning in. 30 to 40 minutes, high energy, fast-paced, opinionated sports talk, without the homerism that you're used to. I admit, hand in the air, both hands in the air, I admit to being a certified NFL draft geek. It is true. I admit it. I get my Arlad Scouting Services draft guide every year, and I love it. I'm like a kid on Christmas morning when that thing comes in the mail. I've talked about Arlads before. Go to their website, arlads.com. That's O-U-R-L-A-D-S.com. The guide is unbelievable. 100 pages, pure information, no pictures, no graphics, no fluff. This is for the diehard draft fan. And last week on my radio show, I had Dan Shanka, really good guy. He's the general manager of Arlads, came on my show. He is the best. Dan was a scout with the Eagles, the Redskins, and the Kansas City Chiefs. Dan and his staff do this for a living, okay? This is how they make their livelihood. This is how they put bread on the table. And their guide is the best, bar none. They don't just put together a couple mock drafts a month beforehand just to get some clicks on a website, okay? They follow these players year-round. They get reports on all these guys. I mean, you're going to get information on players who may go in round 7, who may not even get drafted, and they'll still give you detailed information about these players. So if you're really into the NFL draft, if you are a geek like I am, I recommend their guide. You will not be disappointed. I get a ton of information from it. They make me sound a whole lot smarter than I really am. And the NFL teams actually subscribe to it. It's true. No lie. If you go to their website, you will find pictures from the draft where the Arlads guide is on the table. Yeah, with the different teams. They have a bunch of different pictures with a lot of different teams that get the guide. So if the teams are getting it, you know the information is pretty good. I want to focus on the skill position players here because, let's be real, what are we all into? Fantasy football. Now, usually I only have 2 teams, but I know some of you guys out there, you have like, what, 18 teams? mean, you're all over the board here. You can't even keep track of what players you have in what leagues. So we look at the skill position players first. Let me say a couple of quick things, though, before that. Number one, this is a phenomenal draft class for corners. Unbelievable talent and depth at that position. You have Lattimore and Conley from Ohio State. You have Humphrey from Alabama. You have White from LSU. And on and on and on. So if your favorite team needs a corner, and it's a passing league, teams chuck it 40, 50 times. The days of 3 yards and a cloud of dust, they're out the window. Cowboys run the ball really, really well. Most teams are going to throw the ball. They're not looking to ground and pound. They're looking for big plays in the passing game. So to counter that, you have to have corners. Wait until you see how many corners go in round one Thursday night. I think it could be a half dozen. That would not surprise me at all. Number two, Myles Garrett from Texas A&M is the consensus top player available. He had 81 combined negative yardage plays over 3 years at A&M. Talking about sacks and tackles for loss. 81 combined. The Arlad scouting report simply reads, quote, "If you manufactured an edge defender in a factory, it would look and move like Garrett." Enough said. Now let's get to the skill guys here and the quarterbacks. Every year, I think the quarterbacks are overrated because owners and general managers and player personnel guys know that you need a good quarterback to win the Super Bowl. Plain and simple. That's what it takes. Ron Jaworski, who I really value his opinion, played for the Eagles, has been on TV for many, many years, studies a lot of film. He said that none of the quarterbacks in this year's draft class should go in the first round. Not one of them. Dan Shanka and the folks at Arlads, they only have one QB in round one. And that's Mitch Trubisky from North Carolina. And it's because he's the most accurate, which is by far the most important attribute for NFL quarterbacks. I mean, you can talk about arm strength, you can talk about mobility, you can talk about size. Accuracy, to me, is number one, and it's not close. The windows are small in the National Football League. It's not like college, where because of your scheme, if you're running, you know, one of these air raid offenses, you can have guys who are running free 5-10 yards. That's not life in the NFL. Small amount of time, small windows to squeeze the football in there. I'm not sure Deshaun Watson of Clemson, Deshaun Kizer of Notre Dame, Patrick Mahomes from Texas Tech, I'm not sure that they're accurate enough. Watson, great leader, great character guy. Kizer and Mahomes definitely have NFL size, but can they be accurate enough? I'm positive of this. Quarterbacks almost always go higher than they should because teams get nervous and they panic. It'll probably happen again this week. Trubisky only started 1 year at North Carolina, so he's not a given either. But of this group, I would probably put him number one. At running back, I think you have three studs. Leonard Fournette from LSU, Dalvin Cook, Florida State, and Christian McCaffrey from Stanford. Fournette is a bulldozer. I mean, he'll just steamroll you. McCaffrey has incredible hands. Cook can do it all. The Arlad's draft guide says Cook's potential is as high as any player in this class. Not just running backs, any player. And they actually rate him slightly higher than Fournette. And they're the only group that I've seen do that. The only scouts that I've seen rate him higher than Fournette. The wild card here is Joe Mixon, who, you know the story, suspended for a year in 2014 for punching a female student in the face. Physically, he has a ton of tools. Very versatile. He can catch it. He can run over you. He can make you miss. Dan Shanka said he's similar to Ezekiel Elliott. That's pretty high praise right there. But it could be a PR nightmare for an NFL team. I mean, you know if you take him that you're getting question after question after question about Joe Mixon. And why would you take somebody with his history? So the owner is going to have to make the call on that. But talent-wise, this guy can play. I think everybody agrees on that. At wide receiver, three players stand out to me. Two have great size. One is a pure burner. That's John Ross from Washington. Ran a 4.22 40 time. Some compare him to DeSean Jackson, who was with the Eagles and the Redskins, and now he's with the Buccaneers. Then you have Mike Williams of Clemson, Corey Davis of Western Michigan. Both are big, both extremely productive, which is what I look for. When it comes to the two P's, I'll take productivity over potential. Always do. I think potential gets a lot of GMs and coaches fired. Williams can box you out like he's going up for a rebound in basketball. He's great on 50-50 balls. Davis did not play the same type of competition, but tremendous hands, runs excellent routes, very smooth wide receiver. Scouts go back and forth on these two guys. It depends who you read. Some have Davis higher, some have Williams higher. Very, very close. As for tight ends, the one name to know is O.J. Howard. He's from Alabama. Zero doubt, he is the top tight end in this draft class. He wasn't utilized enough at Alabama, but this kid has Pro Bowl potential. So that's a look at the skill positions. If you have any questions on who your favorite team should pick, let me know on Twitter. I'm at TheSportsRPT. Or if you want to talk about sleepers out there, overrated, underrated players in this draft, let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. This is episode number 466 of the Sports Report podcast. I'm Paul Roberts on The Grizz. That is grizzlyproductions.tv. Or you can find me on iTunes. Just go to the podcast section, type in The Sports Report with Paul Roberts, and the show will be there for you. Today's show brought to you by iHome. iHome has introduced its Zenergy line of products. They feature sound and light therapy technology, which will help you fall asleep and help you to wake up energized and ready to go. And that's something that is important to all of us. These new iHome products have soothing sounds from nature and white noise designed to help your mind and your body relax. They also include specially designed light therapy programs to promote sleep and increase your energy during the day. Dr. Michael Bruce is known as the sleep doctor, and he recommends these new iHome products. He is the most trusted authority on sleep in the nation. So I want you to go to the website iHomeAudio.com and take a look at the Zenergy line of products like the bedside sleep therapy machine and the portable sleep therapy speaker. Of course, iHome is the number one brand in digital speakers. You can look at their docking clock radios. It's all on iHomeAudio.com. Let's get to hoops. I actually saw a headline on ESPN.com today that said, quote, "Is LeBron slowing down? Question mark." What? I mean, are you serious? I actually did a double take. Is LeBron slowing down? Unfortunately, there are so many media outlets nowadays with TV, radio, newspaper, blogs, podcasts, everything out there that some people just say and write things just to get noticed. That's it. It's sad, but it's true. Anyone who honestly believes that LeBron is slowing down has not been watching any basketball this year involving the Cleveland Cavaliers. The man had one of the best seasons of his career, and I'm talking about a four-time MVP. And this was one of his best years. He averaged 26 points, nearly 9 assists, and nearly 9 rebounds. Those are career highs in the latter two categories, assists and boards. Plus, he shot 55% and 36% from three, which isn't great, but up from 31% last season. In almost any year, he would be the MVP of the NBA. But this year, you know, it's different. You have Westbrook and you have Harden, and those guys have just gone off. You have Westbrook, triple-double every other night. Well, on Sunday, with his team down two late, LeBron connected on a three-pointer with just over a minute to go. A huge shot in the game. Yes, Cleveland blew another fourth-quarter lead, but they pulled out a 106-102 victory at Indiana for a sweep of the Pacers. LeBron led everybody 33 points. He shot over 50% in the game. I don't get why some people just can't give him his due. Why is it so hard to give this guy credit? Instead, we get a headline, "Is LeBron slowing down?" Tell you what, go ask Larry Bird and the Pacers and Paul George. Go ask them if he's slowing down. What nonsense. He's now won a record 21 straight first-round games. So you don't have a letdown, even though his teams are going up against inferior competition. They win every game, 21 in a row in the first round. Indiana had a shot. For some unknown reason, J.R. Smith tried to throw a behind-the-back pass in the final seconds, up 3 points. Just hold the ball, and they have to come and foul you. Instead, he decides to go and one mixtape or AAU tournament and go behind the back. One of the dumbest plays I've ever seen in the postseason. It was stolen. Next thing you know, Paul George has a look from three that could have tied the game. Should have been over. He missed it. Wasn't close. Total bonehead play by Smith, but he gets away with it. George did not play well in this game. 15 points, a series low. He was 5 of 21. It's amazing they were in the game with him shooting like that. Lance Stephenson kept the Pacers in it. He had 22 off the bench. Strange dude. Never quite sure what you're going to get from Lance Stephenson, but when he's hot, he can score. So the Cavs are moving on with a sweep. Celtics and Bulls, this is the 1-8 matchup. They're even at 2. The road squad has won every game. Rajon Rondo's thumb injury completely changed this series to me. The Bulls were golden. They're up 2-0, 2 straight at home, and then Rondo breaks his right thumb. I mean, he was playing terrific basketball. He was doing everything for him. As for this game, Celtics were up right away, 30-18 after a quarter. Isaiah Thomas scored 33. You have to feel good for the little guy. Although Fred Hoiberg came after him in the post-game news conference. He was complaining about palming the basketball. Good luck getting that one, Fred, in the NBA. I know you were the mayor at Iowa State, but different story. Two words. Allen Iverson. All right. I mean, you could call a carry on AI every time. Boston blew a 20-point lead in the second quarter. Chicago went in front in the third, but the Celtics answered with a pivotal 12-0 run, and Thomas had 10 of the 12 in that stretch. That is a money player right there. That's a money man. Meanwhile, outside of Jimmy Butler, who had 33, and he got to the free throw line 23 times. He made 19 of 23 from the stripe. Outside of Butler, nobody stepped up for Chicago. So now it's back to Boston at 2-2. Game 5 is Wednesday. Thunder and Rockets went down to the wire in Game 4. Oklahoma City would not go away. They were down 5 with under 25 seconds to play. And then Steven Adams makes a free throw, misses the next, but he grabs his own board, finds Russell Westbrook, and he makes a three. So it's a four-point possession, and that made it 108-107 back in it. But then Nene converted a big-time three-point play. The Thunder fell asleep a little bit there. So he gets a three-point play, pushes it back to four with 11 seconds to go. Eric Gordon iced it with a couple late free throws, 113-109. Houston up 3-1. And this was not the James Harden show. He did not shoot well at all. They still won the game. He was 5 of 16, only 16 points. This was a team effort. Nene, 12 of 12 from the field, 28 points. Unreal. And nobody saw that coming. Gordon and Lou Williams each had 18 off the bench. So those three players gave Houston 64 bench points. OKC just cannot compete with that. And then after the game, everybody's talking about Westbrook, who got angry with a reporter. And the reporter, to his defense, so often we love to get on the media, the reporter asked a very legitimate question about why did the Thunder struggle so much when Westbrook isn't on the floor? And Westbrook would not let Steven Adams answer the question. Adams was right next to him. It was a very awkward moment. Listen, we're all adults here. Adams is a big boy. He can answer the question. Bottom line, Westbrook was plus 14 in his 40 minutes on the floor. The rest of the team, minus 18 in the 8 minutes that he wasn't on the court. Minus 18. And there were similar numbers to those in game two. Just don't have enough. Westbrook finished with 35, 14 rebounds, 14 assists. What else do you want? Now, again, he hasn't shot well. People forget that. Sometimes you just look at the numbers. He's shooting, I think, about 37%. But he had a triple-double by halftime in this game. Still not enough. Because the team just isn't well-rounded. It's not calculus here. It's not rocket science. They just don't have enough. Game 5, Tuesday at Houston. I've said it before, I'll say it again. When it comes to the postseason, you can't trust the Clippers. I mean, they have talent, but something always seems to happen. You can't rely on them. Last year, Chris Paul and Blake Griffin got hurt. Now, Griffin injures his right big toe. He is done for the rest of the playoffs, not just this series. I mean, it's unreal. It's so frustrating. If you happen to be a Clippers fan, man, oh man. Game 4 on Sunday, LA was within 2 with 2.5 minutes to go when Rodney Hood banged a 3. Lefty, what is it about the southpaws? They can shoot it. He banged a 3, he followed it up with another bucket, and then Utah hits another 3, and 2 became 8 with under 1 minute left. Thanks for coming. Drive home safely. Jazz win it 105-98 to tie up that series. It is their first home playoff win in 7 years. What happened to the days of Stockton and Malone? They're winning all the time. Mark Eaton in the middle. The ageless Joe Johnson, they call him ISO Joe, he had 11 points in a row in the fourth quarter. He had 28 off the pine. Unreal. LA just can't stop the guy. And this was another big bench production game, just like the Houston game. Hood scored 18. Favors added 17. A great job by the bench. Utah won, and Gordon Hayward, he only played 9 minutes. He had food poisoning. So he plays 9 minutes, still win. I mean, that's a game LA has to get. Rudy Gobert returned at the center spot and had a double-double for the Jazz. 15 points, 13 rebounds. So that's a bright spot for Utah. They shot 54%. High percentage looks, efficiency. That's what it's about. Game 5, Tuesday in LA. This is episode 466 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on grizzlyproductions.tv. New shows for you every Monday. You can also listen in the podcast section of iTunes. Let's rewind to Saturday. I know the Spurs lost, but we have to talk about Kawhi Leonard. If you missed the fourth quarter and overtime, maybe you were busy, maybe you had plans with friends and family members, doing stuff with the kids, whatever. If you missed it, I feel bad for you. This was a virtuoso performance by Kawhi Leonard. Go back, watch the highlights. I am telling you, the guy put on a show. The Spurs were down 10 with 7.5 minutes to play when Kawhi just went off. He scored, get this, the last 16 points of regulation for San Antonio. All 16. A personal 16-0 run for Leonard. And everybody and their brother knew he was getting the ball. Grizzlies were still helpless. He was in the zone. And I'm not a Spurs fan. I have the utmost respect for that organization and Popovich. But I appreciate greatness. And that was a great offensive display by Leonard. We use the word great too much. A lot of times we should be saying good. He was great. And he's always been known for his defense coming out of San Diego State. But in game four, he hung 43 on Memphis. That's a playoff career high for him. 24 of the 43 came in the fourth quarter and overtime. The guy was unstoppable. He drilled a couple threes in the last 22 seconds of overtime. The second one tied it at 108 with 12 seconds to go. Memphis went to a big Marc Gasol on the next possession. Caught it at the left elbow. Took a couple dribbles. Took two long steps. Made a very difficult shot over LaMarcus Aldridge with 0.7 seconds left. Grizzlies won it 110-108. Now the series is tied at 2. A clutch shot by Gasol, who I've always liked. Tremendous passer. Extremely high basketball IQ. Like his brother, he's a very skilled big man. More of a banger than Powell, but still skilled. Mark finished with 16 points, 12 rebounds, played 46 minutes. Mike Conley's performance, what can you say? I think he got lost in the shuffle because of what Leonard did and then because Marc Gasol hit the winning shot. Conley was spectacular. 35 points, 9 rebounds, 8 assists. I have often said he is an underrated point guard. You know, people talk about his money. Now you know why. I mean, this guy can play, but there are so many stars, superstars out west that you don't hear about Conley enough. You have Durant, you have Curry, you have Thompson, you have Harden, you have Westbrook, you have CP3, on and on. Conley does not get his due. He shot 13 of 23, 4 of 8 from 3, and Memphis won despite 22 turnovers, and San Antonio was perfect from the free throw line, 17 of 17. And Tony Parker chipped in with 22. He had a goose egg in game 3. Goes from 0 points to 22. This was a fantastic game. I would probably say, I think most would agree, this was the best game of the playoffs so far. Really good game. Game 5, Tuesday in San Antonio. We have a series again there. I don't know anybody who picked Memphis, but it's 2-2. One thing we've learned this postseason, no lead is safe, right? Another example, late Saturday night at Portland, Trailblazers up 13 at halftime against the Warriors, who did not have Kevin Durant or Steve Kerr. Durant has a left calf injury, does not seem serious. Kerr is ill, and they're not sure what the deal is there. Golden State went on a 19-1 run in the third, got right back in the game, and continued to roll in the fourth quarter. Steph Curry nailed a big three ball with under a minute to go. That pushed the lead to 7. He hit another shot with 25 seconds left, and then he made four free throws to ice it, 119-113. Curry had 34. Iguodala and McGee were big off the bench. They combined for 30. And you're noticing a theme here. When teams get good bench production, they win. Warriors did not shoot well from deep, just 12 of 36, yet they still won on the road without KD. They're up 3-0, and they can rest Durant again if they want, and the series is over. Damian Lillard, CJ McCollum, each had more than 30 in the game, but Portland simply overmatched. Oh, I have to tell you this story. My buddy Jake is out in Las Vegas. He was celebrating his 40th birthday. Now, he is not a gambler. So he asked me, he wanted a lock. Like, there is such a thing as a lock. But he wanted my best bet. So I gave him Portland as a 6.5-point underdog. I thought the line was so low that it was telling you to take the Blazers. And about 75% of the public was on Golden State. So the opposite theory, which I love, was in play here too. So that's what I do, folks. I'm a giver. I hand out winners. I help others. Now, it was close. It was 119-113. Portland was getting 6.5. So he won, but wasn't easy. But hey, nobody cares. So happy birthday to my buddy Jake. I hope you spent it wisely. Two other games Saturday were not that close, especially Washington at Atlanta. Hawks jumped out to a 25-point lead in the first quarter. This is the playoffs, right? How does that happen? John Wall was the only starter for Washington who played well. He poured in 29 on 10 of 12 shooting. I'm still in awe of how quickly he gets up and down the court. And I saw it at Kentucky. I mean, you knew this guy was going to be a star. Reminded me of Allen Iverson when he was at Kentucky. A Wizards need Bradley Beal to find his jumper. In game three, 6 of 20, 0 of 6 from three. They were 7 of 29 as a team from beyond the arc. Hawks were led by Paul Millsap's 29 and 14 rebounds. Now, Markieff Morris, who's a Philly guy, so you know he can talk a little bit, he called Millsap a crybaby after the game. These two just don't like each other at all. There have been references to MMA. Lots of jawing going back and forth. Washington up 2-1. 116-98 was the final in game three. Story of game four between Toronto and Milwaukee was DeMar DeRozan. In the previous game, he missed every shot that he took. This is an all-star player. He missed all 8 of his shots. Saturday, he had 21 by the half. He wound up with 33 and 9 rebounds. Plus, he made all 9 of his free throws, and he came up with 4 steals. So DeRozan was doing it all. Raptors pulled away in the second half for an 87-76 victory to even that series at 2. The Bucks could not play at their tempo. The Raptors slowed it down. This was a grind-it-out type of game. And Milwaukee did not make shots, period. 5 of 21 from 3, 37% from the field. And the Greek Freak ended up 6 of 19 for 14 points. Giannis doesn't play well. Tough for the Bucks. Milwaukee just cannot win like that. Throw in 20 turnovers. And it's no wonder they lost this one by 11. So now we've got a best of three in order to move on here between Toronto and Milwaukee. Milwaukee blew a big opportunity. And that's why game fours are pivotal. Either it's 3-1 and basically over, or it's 2-2 and it's a clean slate. It's anybody's game. So Toronto right back in it. Your thoughts on the NBA playoffs are welcome on Twitter. I'm at the Sports RPT, the Sports RPT on Twitter. Finally, a little pinball on ice. We'll get to the Stanley Cup playoffs from Sunday. Capitals close out the Leafs 2-1 in overtime. Pretty good showing, though, for Toronto in this series. Washington wins the series in 6. Senators over the Bruins. This also went to overtime. 3-2 the final there. Ottawa advances in six games. So the conference semifinals are set. No Chicago, no Minnesota. They had the most points in the Western Conference. Chicago 109, Minnesota had 106 points, bounced in the first round. Hawks got swept by Nashville. How about that? But you know, in hockey, it's like people almost expect it. The seeds mean nothing. Home ice seems to mean nothing. I just throw them in a hat, pick some teams out. The Wild lost 4-1 to the Blues. So Chicago and Minnesota already gone. Nashville's at St. Louis, game one on Wednesday. Edmonton at Anaheim, that's also a game one, also on Wednesday. The Ducks swept the Flames, so they're playing well right now. Edmonton hasn't been in the playoffs forever. So that's what you're looking at out west. In the east, the marquee matchup is, of course, Washington and Pittsburgh. They had the most points in the NHL this season. I'm going to go with the Penguins. I mean, how can you trust the Caps at this point? I talked about the Clippers not being able to trust them. It just seems like Washington, after the first round, they have a lot of talent. Nobody denies that. And you have Ovechkin, who's clearly one of the best in the game. But they never seem to come up big in a big spot. Game one, Thursday in D.C. Now that's going to be an entertaining series there. And then the Ottawa Senators will host the Rangers on Thursday as well. I think whoever wins that series, Ottawa or New York, they're going to be an underdog in the conference finals. Whether it's Washington or Pittsburgh, they will be the underdog there. So I'll definitely have a couple eyes on the Caps and Pens. That's a good conference semifinal. Who do you like? Has your prediction changed at all since the first round? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT. That'll do it for episode 466. Thanks again for tuning in, everybody. Spread the word. Tell your friends, your family members, anybody you know who likes sports to give this podcast a shot. I'm with you on Mondays, grizzlyproductions.tv. And in the podcast section of iTunes, if you have a split second, I have to thank my buddy Dan for this. If you can write us a nice 5-star review, love you for that in the podcast section of iTunes. And I'm on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. You can sound off on any of the topics that we got into today on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Have a great week, everybody. The draft is coming up quick. It'll be here on Thursday. I cannot wait. I am a draft geek and proud of it. Well, maybe not proud of it, but I am a draft geek. Have a great week. Enjoy your weekend. I'll talk to you again next Monday. This has been episode 466 of The Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on grizzlyproductions.tv.